play fair, clean up the mess you made, don't hit. These are some of the core lessons of life that we learn as young children. But they're lessons that even though we learn when we're young, we have to learn them over and over again. There was that bestseller almost 30 years ago, All I Needed to Know, Really Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. And the idea is that, again, these basic things we need to know in life, we often learn at a young age, but we need to relearn and relearn them throughout our life. The same is true for the Christian faith. Much of it is simple. We often learn at a younger age, but life teaches them. Really, the Lord teaches us anew these basics. And today, I'd like to reflect with you on the John 20 passage that we heard. And I'd like to reflect with you on some basic Christian truths, some basic spiritual truths that passage highlights that I see myself, and I think all of us, relearning during this corona quarantine. Again, I want to reflect with you on John chapter 20 about some basics of the Christian faith, what it means to be a disciple, what it means for us to be an Easter people, that passage underscores, and that I believe our life now in this strange time we're living in is reteaching us. Okay. And so the first basic is that the body matters. The body matters. When Jesus shows up, one of the first things he does is he shows them his hands. His hands that would have borne evidence of his crucifixion just a few days prior. And then when there's Thomas, he even says to Thomas, put your hands in my side. Put your hands where the nails were. Again, Jesus isn't some ghost or spirit that has come back, but he was a human who had a body, who died and is now risen in some resurrected body. The body matters. And when Jesus even wants to confer on the disciples the Spirit, he doesn't make them go to sleep and communicate to them in some esoteric dream. He doesn't give them some strange incantation to practice. No, he does such a physical thing. He breathes on them, which, again, for all of us right now, we cringe in terms of our social distancing practices. You definitely don't breathe on each other. But he literally breathes on them. Even when it comes to the spiritual, it's still conferred in a physical way. So one of the basics of Christian faith is that the body matters. The body matters to God. Now, this is something that we have long confessed and known. When we confess the Apostles' Creed, we say we believe in the resurrection of the body. And one of our main rituals, our main practices, is gathering around bread and wine that we confess is Jesus, using our mouth, our body, the whole thing. So again, as Christians, we've long known that the body matters to God, that physicality is a part of spirituality. But I think the last few weeks have really brought that home. When we can't connect with each other in the same way, I think even the most introverted among us is hungry for human interaction, human connection, really human touch. Again, the body matters. And it matters to our faith. This last week, we had a really powerful council meeting in which we all shared what ministry of the church has been most meaningful to us during this time. And one of the council members shared that she worships at home, but she and her husband, that they stand for all of the hymns and the parts of the liturgy they would stand for in the sanctuary. Because again, the body matters. It matters to God, and it's part of our faith. I think it has been actually very difficult for us as this corona quarantine goes on, to not have communion. And this fasting from communion continues and even gets harder for me. And again, it's because the body matters. The body matters. And even as we've been planning now, we're starting to plan for what it might look like for us to gather back at St. Paul in this space for worship. And we know that there's a lot of fear, and so some people may not want to come back, but we also anticipate that many of us will want to gather for worship together. We will want to take communion, and so how do we do this? So again, I think John 20 just reminds us that we're not ghosts and Jesus wasn't a ghost, and our life is lived in the flesh in a body, and that's okay. And indeed, the body matters to God, and physicality is integral to our spirituality. The second basic truth of the Christian faith that John 20 gets at, and certainly we've had to relearn, is that the church is not a building. Again, the church is not a building. The only walls that exist in this story, Jesus just blatantly ignores. He doesn't have time for walls. And he even tells the disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, right? Hey, I'm back from the dead. Get going. Get out there and share the news. And this is what they do. They go and they tell Thomas. This is what we hear about in the Pentecost reading of Peter's sermon. He's out in the world, and even the first Peter, again, the early Christian community spread out in the Mediterranean. The early Christians had no glorious buildings as we do. No, it's again a reminder that the church isn't a building. And we all know this. We all know, and right, we all remember as a kid, maybe that little sort of song, the church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, open it up and see all the people. Even when we use the creed, we confess that we believe in the church, but that the church is the communion of saints. It's the by the Spirit gathered people among whom the Word dwells, and we prayerfully seek to encourage one another to live as Jesus' disciples in service to our neighbor. I think we have definitely learned this lesson that, once again, that the church is not a building during this time when we cannot gather. At the same council meeting, one of the council members said, you know, Pastor Rob, we've been talking for a while, doing Bible studies from the book of Acts about how the church isn't in the building and how the Spirit wants us to move out into the world. And now we're no longer just talking about it. We're doing it. We're doing it. And each week, it's so amazing to see the care that is extended in this congregation. The ways in which we're finding ways to connect, even to worship, to gather around the Word, and then to be strengthened as we seek to live as disciples, whether it's gathering food for the local school or just in the ways in which all of you are bravely, boldly trying to be Jesus' disciples in a time of great anxiety and dislocation. Again, we're discovering anew that the church really is this community that's rooted in the Word and rooted in God's grace and connected through the love of God to each other in service to our neighbor. One of the council members mentioned about how, although in the coming months with, you know, this situation sort of just unfolding and ongoing, that there's going to be such a need in the world for the church. And my hope is that even though, again, we're making plans of how we can begin to gather again, which, again, I'm so longing to do, my hope is that we've been infected a little bit with this spirit that has reminded us that it's about relationships with each other, with Jesus, and finally the broader world, and that spirit will continue to listen to that spirit as the spirit drives us out of our building into the world as the Easter people, as disciples. So I think, again, John 20 and our situation have spoken to us anew this basic truth that the church is not a building. But I would say that the most important and essential truth that that John chapter 20 proclaims to us, and I think also these days have once again taught us, is that Jesus Christ is Lord. Again, that Jesus is Lord. And here we are. Here we are, the week after Easter, in the midst of such a chaotic and confusing time. And what should the story from God's word for us be? But of a group of disciples who are huddled together and they've locked the doors for fear of the outside world. How many of us have had to close doors, wear masks, keep the outside world out for our sake and for the world's sake? Oh, we are in quarantine. But you know what happens to those barriers, those walls that the people have sought to put around them? Well, you know, Jesus doesn't have time for them. Jesus tears down the barriers, and Jesus just shows up in their midst, for he is Lord, and he proclaims to them, "Peace be with you." This is what he says to the disciples 2,000 years ago. And to us today who are in locked rooms with so many barriers to the outside world, Jesus still shows up and proclaims to you, "For indeed he is Lord, peace be with you." But it's not simply a physical barrier, it's also the barrier of their fear. They're afraid. The early disciples were afraid that the Jewish or Roman leaders were going to sort of squelch them out even violently, the incipient Jesus movement. But Jesus overcomes their fears, for he has conquered all things, and he stands among them as Lord, and he proclaims to them, "Peace be with you." And so this day, when we live in a world in which we have so many fears about our health, fears about those whom we love, fears about the health system, fears about the economy. Oh, the list goes on. Jesus shows up because he is Lord, and he proclaims to us, to you this day, "Peace be with you." But see, that's not the only thing, the only challenge for Jesus, for the disciples. You see, this group, this group that is there, that is assembled, these are the very people that had abandoned Jesus, that had fled, that had denied him. They are sinners who have fallen short of God's glory, yet Jesus is victorious over their sin. He has borne it in his body, and he has put it to death. And so he can stand among them as Lord and say to them, "Peace be with you." Likewise, we come, and yes, indeed, our sin separates us from the love of God and Jesus Christ. Our fears paralyze us, but Jesus is Lord even over our sin, for he has borne your sins in his body, and he stands before you today and proclaims to you 2,000 years later the same gospel: "Peace be with you, for he is Lord." But you see, Thomas is doubting. Thomas doesn't believe. He wants more evidence. But Thomas's doubts don't stop Jesus, for Jesus is Lord. And Jesus shows up in their midst, and Jesus says to them, says, "Peace be with you." And in the same way, our doubts are not going to stop Jesus Christ from showing up in your life today, for he is Lord, he is bigger than your doubts, and he proclaims to you, "Peace be with you." But then there's also this most significant matter, which I have not yet mentioned, and that is the obvious thing, that Jesus actually died. He was crucified. Talk about something that could stop somebody from showing up, from loving us. But you know what? Jesus is Lord even over death. And so he shows up for those disciples as the one who is crucified but now is risen. And he stands in their midst as the risen Lord and says, "Peace be with you." And so this day, even though we may have a fear of death, even though we may know people that have already died, we know that there is good news, and that is that death does not have the final word, but Jesus Christ is Lord over death, and he stands before you today and proclaims to you, "Peace be with you." that like Thomas, we might be able to say, my Lord and my God. For it's a basic lesson that we sometimes forget and sometimes need to be reminded of. And to put it in the words of St. Paul, for I am convinced that nothing, neither angels or demons, principalities, any height or depth, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. Amen.